Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about Q1 production and delivery forecast. This will be a spreadsheet-heavy episode, so if you are normally an audio listener, I'd recommend the video. The link for that will be in the show notes. The other big news today was, of course, Biden's infrastructure plan, so if we do have time, we'll talk a bit about that towards the end. Tesla stock likely benefiting a bit from that today, up 5.1% to $668 at close. That compared to the NASDAQ, which also had a strong day, finishing up 1.5%. Alright, so before we get into the numbers, let's quickly talk about timing. Here you can see a table of all of Tesla's quarterly production and delivery releases, which Tesla started doing within 3 days of quarter end back in 2015, quarter end obviously being today. So it's always been either 2 or 3 days. One time back in 2016, it was a little bit delayed, 4 days there, but 2 days is the most common. That happens 60% of the time, and that trend has been increasing recently. So over the last 2 years, 75% of the releases have been on that second day, including 6 of the last 7. So I do expect those numbers this Friday, April 2nd, but it's probably worth noting that in general, the Q1 release has skewed a little bit later. The average has been 2.8 days. Even if we exclude that 4-day release back in 2016, the average then drops to 2.6, still higher than Q2 and Q3. The other important note here is that this Friday is Good Friday. That means the NASDAQ will be closed all day. So regardless of when we get the numbers, it's likely that next Monday will be the first trading day post-release. All right, with that out of the way, let's get into the numbers. We'll start off with the FactSet consensus. As usual, this is a pretty meaningless number to me, but it does set the tone for how the media portrays the release, whether they consider it a beat or a miss. As of yesterday, the number from FactSet was 172,230 vehicles. Now, I did see a lot of conversation on Twitter today around Barron's article that stated that the FactSet consensus was 162,000 vehicles, which, based on this screenshot, I do not believe to be the case. Consensus estimates just don't move that quickly to drop by 10,000 vehicles overnight, even if there was a big move from one analyst. So I'm not sure what's going on with that Barron's number, but this is often confusing. Sometimes even within FactSet, there will be two different numbers. Because this screenshot specifically calls out 21 to 23 estimates, I do think it's the one to go with. You may also notice there that the consensus for SNX seems to be 12,000 vehicles. Obviously, seems a bit high, which we'll talk about as we go through the numbers. Oh, and as I'm recording here, I did just get the company compiled consensus estimate. That's coming in at 173,776 total vehicles. All right, so let's dive into my numbers then. As a reminder, let's reset. We're looking now at production. I always want to start off with production. I really don't care much about deliveries. Deliveries are going to capture the headlines, but I believe Tesla is largely production constrained. So for me, production is way more important than what the delivery number is. And deliveries are influenced by how much Tesla draws down from their inventory, which makes the number not as good of a proxy for what's going to happen in the following quarters, which is what I care about the most. That's really the only reason we talk about these quarterly numbers so in depth. It's really just to have that context to understand how much progress Tesla has made, how quickly, and what that might mean for the rest of the year. So we're going to start with production, but then of course we will talk about deliveries afterwards. All right, so looking at the sheet, just to familiarize you, the rows are different periods of time. The columns divide things up by factory, so we've got total production, Fremont production, Shanghai production. Then those are translated over to both weekly production rates in the middle and daily production rates on the right. All the gray cells here, those are actuals. Those come directly from Tesla's reports. The orange cells, those we're pretty confident in based on numbers out of China. And yellow are projections or areas that we just don't have a lot of certainty on. There are a few production headwinds this quarter that we need to keep in mind. First, we had a temporary Fremont production shutdown. That was for at least a couple of days, and likely took them more than that to restart production to the previous levels. So altogether, I'm taking out about a half a week for that. We also had that GigaPress fire, the casting machine. I'm guessing that was probably a relatively short outage, but may have taken a couple of days to get that fully cleaned up and back and running smoothly. Given that this is one of the newer manufacturing technologies being used in the Model Y, that likely reduced Model Y production for the quarter. We've also got a lot of uncertainty around semiconductor shortages. Tesla did note in the Q4 call that that may impact them, and it looks like IHS Market at this point in time is expecting that to be about a 5 to 10% drag on total automotive production for the quarter. That being said, since the Q4 call, we haven't heard anything on that from Tesla, and production, aside from that temporary shutdown, has seemed to be continuous, so hopefully not a major factor, but definitely worth noting. Couple others, we do have a shorter quarter. This is a 90-day quarter versus Q4 was 92 days. Last year, Q1 with the leap year was 91 days. May sound small, but when you're doing a couple thousand vehicles per day, that adds up. So that's why we look at those weekly rates in the production sheet. Chinese New Year is always worth noting, that falls in Q1, but we do have reports on Tesla's February production in Shanghai already out of China, so we should be accounting for that already. And it seemed, for the most part, Tesla worked through that, so the impact there should be minor, especially on our projections. Same thing with that ship that's been stuck in the Suez Canal. The biggest impact there would have been shipping from China to Europe, but Tesla does that at the front of the quarter, and then localizes delivery at the end of the quarter. So likely no major impact on Tesla from that. Lastly, we just have seasonal impact. So Q1, normally a weaker quarter. Sometimes automakers use that natural weakness as an opportunity for retooling. And then finally, the SNX refresh, which of course has significantly impacted production on SNX this quarter. So with all that in mind, looking at the production forecast then, SNX is probably the easiest place to start. Here I'm forecasting just a few hundred vehicles. We've seen a few show up in the Fremont lots, we've seen a few on car carriers, but we don't really have any reports of the refreshed models being delivered yet. So production here is going to be very low. Deliveries will be higher because Tesla did have some inventory on the old model SNX from last quarter, but SNX production is going to be low. It's going to be a drag on the quarter overall. 500 vehicles would be about a 15,000 unit decline from both last year Q1 and this most recent Q4 for SNX. We'll then move to Shanghai because this bucket is again a little bit more known because we do get those monthly production reports. It looked like in January and February, Tesla was producing about 5,600, then 5,900 per week. That's across both Model 3 and Model Y. As Model Y continues to ramp, I expect better numbers in March, but it is still a little bit unclear about how Model Y production is progressing because we don't know if Tesla has added more shifts for the Model Y quite yet. So my hope is that I'm conservative on this line, but I am projecting production to be about 6,200 vehicles per week in March, so a similar improvement in the production rate per week from Jan to Feb, and then Feb to March. That would put March for Shanghai at just shy of 28,000, and the total quarter at just above 76,000 vehicles. That would be up more than 10% from Q4, which likely came in around 67,000 vehicles. So if we get 76,000, nice steady increase there, obviously driven by Model Y. And remember, that does include both Chinese New Year and the two fewer days in the quarter. So from there, we go back to Fremont. We have Model 3 and Model Y from Fremont left. We'll start with Model 3. Tesla there seems to have kind of leveled out somewhere around 4,400 per week. I don't really see much of a reason to expect any big increases there. So what I'm doing here is I'm basically forecasting the same weekly production rate as we saw in Q4 for the Fremont Model 3. Then, because we did have that temporary production shutdown, I'm taking 2,500 vehicles out of that, which is a little bit more than half a week. That gives me about 54,600 Fremont Model 3s for the quarter, down maybe 4,000 from Q4. We don't have that breakout, so we kind of have to guess there, but down 4,000 due to both that production shutdown and the shorter quarter. Lastly, then we've got the Model Y in Fremont. This one's always the trickiest because we have the least amount of data on it. At least historically, we had the Model 3 isolated from the Model Y. We've never had that with the Model Y, so keep that in mind, kind of a large error bar here, but I think the best way to estimate production has been to look at the VIN tracking sheet that Troy Teslik has set up. Shout out to him. I've done this the last few quarters, and it seemed to give us a pretty reasonable number. So if we flip over to that sheet, this allows us to see when people are being assigned certain VINs by each month. Gives us a great overall ceiling on Model Y production because if Tesla's assigned 100,000 VINs, while we know that total production to date hasn't exceeded 100,000, it's going to be some number lower than that because Tesla doesn't necessarily go completely sequentially, and they may also skip batches of numbers. So if we look at Q4, for example, December, the highest VIN received at that point in time was 99,000. Fast forward now to Q1, March, looks like we're in the 162,000 range. So definitely a bigger jump than we had seen in previous quarters. Last quarter, for example, it was about a 40,000 jump in the ceiling. But I'm not reading too much into that because Tesla did introduce the standard range Model Y and the 7-seat Model Y this quarter, and that could have accounted for some of that variability in those VINs. And if we just look at this visually too, you can see there are a lot fewer VINs being assigned between sort of 100,000 and maybe 130,000 or so. And the density then is much greater, looks more normal from 130,000 to 160,000. So admittedly, this is not the most analytical way of looking at this, but based on what we had seen in previous quarters and the VIN range we're seeing here, I'm thinking from 130,000 to 162,000, that's probably going to account for maybe 25,000 vehicles or so, where that range from 100,000 to 130,000 looks about half as dense, so I'm expecting maybe 10 to 15,000 vehicles in that range. So with the VINs going from 100,000 to 160,000 all total, I'm at somewhere around 40,000 vehicles being produced in that span, plus any stragglers that came from the older VIN ranges as well. There's always some of that. So back to the spreadsheet then, 40,000 Model Y for Fremont for Q1. That'd be a couple thousand more vehicles than I had for Model Y for Fremont for Q4. And again, that's with the temporary production shutdown, the casting fire, and the shorter quarter. So putting it all together then, I have Fremont totaling up to 94,600 vehicles, Shanghai again just above 76,000, for a total production forecast of 170,749 vehicles from Tesla for Q1. I'd be very happy with that number. It may not look great. That's down 4% from Q4. Tesla did about 180,000 in Q4. But remember, this is with pretty much no SNX production. So throw in another 15, 20,000 there. And again, those two fewer days have an impact. If Tesla had those, maybe this number is 175,000. Throw in SNX and all of a sudden you're at 190,000. maybe even better. That down 4% number quarter over quarter from Q1 to Q4 is actually pretty in line with what Tesla has done historically as well. In 2018, when Model 3 was really ramping up, it shot up 40% in Q1 from Q4. But setting that aside, Q1 production is actually generally weaker, down about 1% on average. If Tesla does hit this number, I'll definitely be happy. If they beat it, it's likely from Model Y, whether that's in Fremont or Shanghai. There's definitely upside on both here. And if they miss it, it's likely one of those headwinds that we had discussed having a bigger impact than what I've accounted for in this projection. It's also worth noting that that production number would be Tesla's second best production quarter ever, and it would be up about 65% year over year. All right, so that's production. Let's look at deliveries. Again, I don't really care what the number is here, but let's talk about it. It's important to note that for Q1, historically, Tesla's deliveries have always been lower than production. As you can see in the table here, the spread the last 2 years has been huge, about 14,000 fewer deliveries than vehicles produced in Q1 of 2020 and 2019. That being said, both had unique circumstances. 2020, obviously the pandemic, things were closing down at the end of the quarter. 2019, that was when S&X sales kind of tanked and they fell into that new sort of 15,000 per quarter level from 25,000 previously. And they also had the European Model 3 launch, so a lot of vehicles that quarter got stuck in transit. Still, it's not just those two quarters. Historically, Tesla's deliveries have been about 10% lower in Q1 than production. Even factoring out those 2 years, it's about 7%. But one of the major factors that's different about this year is that Tesla drew its inventory down way, way less in Q4 of 2020 than they have been doing historically, at least for the last 3 years. Tesla only delivered 910 more vehicles in Q4 than they produced, whereas that drawdown the prior year had actually been more than 7,000 vehicles. So Tesla's in a better inventory spot heading into this Q1 than they have been historically. They only have 11 days of inventory, that's pretty low. But days of inventory is calculated based on deliveries. As Tesla deliveries go up, that days of inventory represents a larger number. So Tesla actually ended Q4 with about 26,500 vehicles in inventory versus only about 15,000 the year prior. So it's up 77% to start the year. That should allow deliveries to be a little bit closer to production this quarter than they have been in historical Q1s. And part of that is delivering leftover non-refreshed S&X. So even though I'm only forecasting 500 produced, we may see S&X deliveries, I don't know, somewhere in the few thousand range. I definitely don't think it's going to be 12,000 to get back to that FactSet consensus. And weirdly enough, even Dan Ives of Wedbush came out today and actually raised his S&X delivery target from 12,500 up to 14,000. Don't really understand that. But the point here is that deliveries and production should be a little bit closer than we have seen historically for a couple of reasons. So based on that and some other math that is not worth the time to go through, I expect deliveries to be about 4% lower than production, leaving me with a final delivery count of 163,919 vehicles. And if I get any of this wrong, this was all just an elaborate early March April Fool's joke, hashtag Volkswagen. Anyway, obviously my forecast there quite a bit lower than what FactSet seems to be at 172,000. Maybe there'd be a bit of a disappointment, but as soon as these numbers come out, the best part about this is that it's done and we head into the next part of the year. We're probably looking at stacking three record-setting quarters on top of each other, Q2 through Q4. And Q1 here is the calm before the storm, especially if that inventory ends up building through deliveries being lower than production. So even if Tesla does miss here in Q1, especially because we do have this long weekend, I don't think it's going to be hugely impactful to the stock. Obviously, it depends what the actual numbers are and the context behind them, which of course we'll talk about. But I think any drop on this would be short-lived. I do think there's actually pretty good upside potential if Tesla does beat, though. Because if Tesla misses, well, there's still so much upside left for the rest of the year. And if they actually beat, that just makes that upside look even better and more achievable. All right, so that's a wrap on production and delivery numbers. Then let's quickly here talk for a couple minutes about Biden's infrastructure plan. I'll put a link to the show notes for the full details, but the headline news for EVs was a section specifically on EVs saying, quote, create good jobs, electrifying vehicles. U.S. market share of plug-in electric vehicle sales is only 1/3 the size of the Chinese EV market. The president believes that must change. He's proposing a $174 billion investment to win the EV market, end quote. The funding will, quote, give consumers point-of-sale rebates and tax incentives to buy American-made EVs while ensuring these vehicles are affordable for all families and manufactured by workers with good jobs, end quote. The funding would also cover grants and incentive programs to build up to 500,000 electric vehicle chargers by 2030, replace 50,000 diesel transit vehicles, and electrify 20% of the yellow school bus fleet. So the $174 billion there, that's the headline number. Depending on how much of that goes to electric vehicle rebates, as it says there at point of sale, or tax incentives, this could apply to 10 million plus electric vehicles. If that tax credit is $7,500, even just $100 billion of that would be enough for about 13 million EVs. I've seen some speculation that it could even be a larger per vehicle credit than $7,500, but unfortunately at this point, we just don't have those types of specifics yet that I have seen. But some sort of EV credit is very clearly in this plan, and it's a pretty significant chunk. I would be very surprised if something doesn't end up making it through. So like I said, that $174 billion was the headline, but plenty of other sections here could be relevant to Tesla. Many sections mention manufacturing in America. There's a lot about clean energy, including a section on the federal government's buying power, saying they spend more than $500 trillion each year on goods and services, and more of that should be going to clean energy, on things like electric vehicles. So Biden's asking Congress to set aside $46 billion in federal buying power to jumpstart clean energy manufacturing. There's also $15 billion for, quote, demonstration projects for climate R&D priorities, including utility-scale energy storage, carbon capture and storage, hydrogen, advanced nuclear, rare earth element separations, floating offshore wind, biofuel bioproducts, quantum computing, and electric vehicles, as well as strengthening U.S. technological leadership in these areas in global markets, end quote. The plan also talks about achieving 100% carbon-free electricity by 2035 and net zero emissions for the U.S. by 2050. Part of getting there would be a, quote, 10-year extension and phase down of an expanded direct pay investment tax credit and production tax credit for clean energy generation and storage, end quote, as well as a mandate for 24/7 clean power for federal buildings, end quote. So we'll have to wait and see how all of these specifics materialize here, but definitely a lot in there for clean energy, electric vehicles, and American manufacturing, though a lot of that seems to be tied to unions, so not sure how much Tesla will benefit from that type of stuff. But regardless, a lot of this is relevant to Tesla. So again, I'll put the link to that in the description if you want to read the full thing. Also, let me know in the comments today what you're expecting for Q1 delivery and production numbers. Always curious to see those. Otherwise, that is it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the, Thursday, April 1st episode of Tesla Daily. Don't forget to be on the lookout for April Fool's jokes, because generally this is when they are supposed to happen. So I'll see you then. Thank you.